गिरीवरधारी गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिष्यमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय इस्कॉन बीबीटी संस्थापकाचार्य हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, in the matter of Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe, text 23. Rasam Achashtangritale. अथ पादयोर् महीं महिद्रान् पुरुषस्य जंगयो पतत्रिनो जानुनी विश्वमूर्तेर् उर्वोर् గణం మారుతం ఇంద్రసేనః రసాం అచష్టాంగ్రితలే అత పాదయోర్ మహీన్ మహీద్రాన్ పురుషస్య జంగయో పతత్రినో జానుని విశ్వమూర్తేర్ ఊర్వోర్గణం మారుతం ఇంద్రసేనః రసాం అచష్టాంగ్రితలే అత పాదయోర్ మహీన్ మహీద్రాన్ పురుషస్య జంగయో పతత్రినో జానుని విశ్వమూర్తేర్ ఊర్వోర్గణం మారుతం ఇంద్రసేనః రసాం అచష్టాంగ్రితలే అత పాదయోర్ మహీన్ మహీద్రాన్ పురుషస్య జంగయో పతత్రినో జానుని విశ్వమూర్తేర్ ఊర్వోర్గణం మారుతం ఇంద్రసేనః Vaishnavis. Rasam, the lower planetary system, Achashta, observed, Angritale, beneath the feet or on the soul, Atha, thereafter, Padayo, on the feet, Mahim, the surface of the land, Mahidran, the mountains, Purushasya, of the giant personality of Godhead, Jangayo, on the calves, Patatrinaha, the flying living entities, Januni, on the knees, Vishwamurthe, of the form of the gigantic Lord, Urvo, on the thighs, Ganam Marutam, varieties of air, Indrasenaha, Bali Maharaj, who had obtained the soldiers of King Indra and who was situated in the post of Indra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary systems such as Rasatala on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves all the mountains, on his knees the various birds, and on his thighs the varieties of air. Purport. The universal situation is described herein in regard to the complete constitution of the Lord's gigantic universal form. The study of this universal form begins from the soul. Above the soles are the feet. Above the feet are the calves. Above the calves are the knees. And above the knees are the thighs. Thus the parts of the universal body, one after another, are described herein. The knees are the place of birds, and above that are varieties of air. The birds can fly over the mountains, and above the birds are varieties of air. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to chapter 20 in the matter of Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe, canto 8, text 23. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaikripa Pradayine Gaurakata Dhamadaya Nagaragrama Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Dana Dase Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namon Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Nitarinam Yatkripatamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Vipritam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So in this section of the 20th chapter, there is a brief description of the universal form. We know from the Bhagavad Gita that there was a very elaborate description of the universal form. The form that Krishna exhibited to Arjuna on the battlefield. And throughout that section, Srila Prabhupada repeatedly makes the point that Arjuna asked Krishna to show the universal form to prove actually that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna had theoretically and philosophically explained that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Arjuna requested Krishna to show his universal form so that in future, Prabhupada writes repeatedly in those purports, that in future when somebody says that he is God, this is the means This is the method to prove that he is God. That should show his universal form. And rightly so, 5,000 years have passed. And there have so many gods who have come in this interim. The so-called gods. Even to this day, there are so many gods. And as they say, in India, there's a god manufactured every minute in the god factory. So, not just to Arjuna, but even before that, Krishna, when he was a small child, he exhibited the universal form to Mother Yashoda. When he ate some dirt, and his friends complained, and Mother Yashoda wanted to check whether he actually ate mud, dirt. So then when Krishna opened his mouth, he showed the universal form there. It's a different universal form, but still the universal form. And there she could even see herself feeding Krishna within the mouth of Krishna. Now, this is what happens when Krishna opens his mouth. I remember when I initially started going to an ISKCON temple, one devotee very nicely phrased this. He said, when Krishna opens his mouth, you see the universal form. But what happens when a so-called avatar opens his mouth? What do you see? He said. I was thinking, what do you see? Then he said, bacteria. So that is the difference between God and an ordinary living entity. Now, what exactly is this universal form? Is it material? Is it spiritual? Is it permanent? Is it temporary? What is it, actually? So, Prabhupada explains that, in fact, all the acharyas have explained the same thing, that the Vishwarupa form, the universal form of the Lord, is transcendental, but it is not a form situated in the spiritual world. So it is manifest during the manifestation of this universe, and unmanifest when the universe is not when the universe is not manifest. So, but it is a transcendental form, and Prabhupada explains this in the third canto in a very simple manner. He compares the Virat form of the Lord to the deity form of the Lord. So the deity form of the Lord is also manifest when the material universe is manifest, and is not manifest when the material universe is not manifest. They are not transcendental forms in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada explains in the this is from the 6th chapter of the 3rd canto, text 4. The Virat Rupa is not therefore an eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. It is a material manifestation of the Lord. Material does not mean mundane, but Prabhupada also explains it's spiritual, transcendental. The Archavigraha or the worshipable deity in the temple is a similar manifestation of the Lord for the neophytes. But in spite of their material touch, this is the important point, but in spite of their material touch, because the Lord by his kindness is manifest in a form that is visible to our eyes, the Archavigraha form, but it's not that, and Prabhupada explained, but in spite of their material touch, such forms of the Lord as the Virat and Archa are all non-different from his eternal form as Lord Krishna. So the deity form of the Lord or the Virat form is not as good as Krishna, but it is non-different from Krishna. But manifest, but in spite of their material touch, which means they manifest in a manner that's visible to our eyes. That's all. But they're transcendental. Just that they are not eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. Now, it's interesting that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, I'll give you divine eyes to see this form. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur asks this question, that I mean, it's asking means he's not asking the question, but it's like some questioner asking. That's the format in which traditional commentaries are written. There's a question, there's an answer. So there's a question that Arjuna was an eternal associate of the Lord, related to the Lord in friendship. So then he is already in a relationship with the Lord, such an intimate association of the Lord. So if he does not have divine eyes, then who would have it? So why does he need divine eyes? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that suppose you have tasted the juice of white lotus. I haven't tasted it. I don't know how many of you here have tasted it. But suppose you drink the juice of white lotus, then the taste of sugar candy is not relishable. So Arjuna, because of being in that relationship with the Supreme Lord, it's like tasting the juice of the white lotus. Therefore, he cannot relish the universal form of the Lord. Therefore, although he had a divine spiritual vision, still Krishna provided him with another kind of divine spiritual vision through which he could see the Lord. And it's interesting that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that when Krishna revealed his universal form to Arjuna, there are two forms that he revealed. First, he revealed the Sachidananda form as Mahavishnu, Sahasra Sirisha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapath, which means 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, 1,000 legs. This form is the Sachidananda form of the Lord. So first he showed that form. Why? Because by seeing that form, Arjuna became astonished with wonder. And Prabhupada explains that wonder, that sense of wonder, is also one of the 12 relationships with Krishna. That sense of wonder overwhelmed his sense of friendship to the Lord. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, from text 20 onwards, Krishna reveals his universal form as the Kala Purusha, as the form of time. So these are interesting details that we get from the work of the liberated Acharyas. So what actually is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is very nicely explained by Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas. So this is the essential understanding of the universal form. Of course, Krishna also showed the universal form to Duryodhana and before the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So like that, there are a few times that he showed the universal form, but it's explained that the universal form showed to Arjuna, that nobody has ever seen before. Because sitting in one place in the chariot, he could see everything, the entire thing. So, on the topic of the universal form, I was wondering how much could I speak on this topic of the universal form. Then I was looking at the Vaishnava calendar. Then it says today is the appearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit. So it's 8:30 now. This is exactly what I had planned. So half the class will speak on the universal form, and then the rest of the class I'll speak on Vakreshwar Pandit. Not just his pastimes, but also certain other aspects of Vakreshwar Pandit. Pandit's lineage. Now, Vakreshwar Pandit, as most of you know, must have heard, must have read, must have appreciated, he was a great dancer. And once he danced for 72 hours continuously in Shivas Thakur's house. So Lord Chaitanya was very fond of his dancing. And it's also explained that Lord Chaitanya was very fond, was so much appreciative of Vakreshwar Pandit. He said that because of his pure love for Krishna, Krishna is seated in his heart and he is dancing. Therefore, Vakreshwar Pandit is also inspired to dance for the pleasure of the Lord. So there is one pastime where Devananda Pandit was reciting the Bhagavatam. And when he was reciting the Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur was present in that assembly. And Srivas Thakur, he developed symptoms of ecstasy hearing the Bhagavatam. And obviously when a person develops symptoms of ecstasy, it creates some kind of a disturbance in the assembly. At least superficially it creates a disturbance. So what happened was, Devananda Pandit's followers removed Shiva's Pandit from that assembly of Vaishnavas hearing the Bhagavatam. So when that happened, Devananda Pandit did not protest. So Lord Chaitanya was very angry, because Shiva's Thakur was such a great exalted Vaishnava. And just like we don't insult the book Bhagavat, we are not meant to insult the devotee Bhagavat. Insulting the devotee Bhagavat is very serious. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, Devananda Pandit did not protest. He was very angry. He considered that behavior very offensive. Yet, it was Vakreshwar Pandit who redeemed Devananda Pandit from that predicament. Once, when Devananda Pandit when Vakreshwar Pandit, he went to Kulia, and there he was singing and dancing, and Devananda Pandit also went there, and he was so enchanted by the singing and dancing of Vakreshwar Pandit that he took a cane and he kept away people coming near Vakreshwar Pandit so he could continue to sing and dance. So when Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very pleased that Devananda Pandit had rendered such service to Vakreshwar Pandit. And because of this, rendering such service to Vakreshwar Pandit was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu forgave Devananda Pandit. And it is explained that Vakreshwar Pandit also went with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri. And he also stayed in Jagannath Puri, in the same place as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Kashi Mishra's house, Gambira. So we have the Sri Sri Radha, Radha Kanta deities even today. And these were the deities of Vakreshwar Pandit. So Vakreshwar Pandit was a very dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now many of you may have heard of this, these pastimes of Vakreshwar Pandit, but what may not be known to everybody else, what may not be known to everybody, is about the lineage of Vakreshwar Pandit and what relevance it has for the modern day practice of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Vakreshwar Pandit had a disciple, Gopal Guru Goswami, and who had a disciple? Dhyanachandra Goswami. Now, Dhyanachandra Goswami established what is called the Dhyanachandra Paddhati. Now, you may not have heard these names specifically, but during Prabhupada's manifest pastimes, there was significant episodes in relationship with this paddhati. Now, we know from the Nectar of Devotion that there is Vaidhi Bhakti, there is Bhava Bhakti, and there is Sadhana Bhakti, there is Bhava Bhakti, there is Sadhana Bhakti, there is Bhava Bhakti, and there is Prema Bhakti. In Sadhana Bhakti, there are two types, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Now, the followers of Dhyanachandra Goswami, the Dhyanachandra Paddhati, they are the group who propound the Siddha Pranali. It's also called the Siddha Pranali Paddhati. They claim that the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the Saraswatas, Prabhupada identifies us as the Saraswatas. We are not specifically just Rupanugas, as we are all followers of Rupa Goswami, yes. But Prabhupada more specifically classifies us as the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says we are the Saraswatas. What does it mean? Prabhupada says Saraswatas mean one who propagate, those who propagate the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to fight against opposing elements. This is the Saraswata. Prabhupada very clearly defines it like that. Now, the followers of the Dhyanachandra Paddhati, they claim that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, they gave us a lower form. It's like the school. If you go to school, okay, that's one level, it's bona fide. But the higher level, the university level, is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti as practiced. Not just Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti as practiced in the Dhyanachandra Paddhati. And even during Prabhupada's presence, Prabhupada restricted devotees from going to Radhakund. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada is very firm about this. Because these ideas are coming, these practitioners are mainly based in Radhakund. And it is from there that these ideas come. So Prabhupada is very conscious of that. Nevertheless, his own Sanskrit editor, Nitai Das, during Prabhupada's own presence, he came and told Prabhupada that he would like to take blessings of Prabhupada so that he can move on to something higher than what Prabhupada had given him. And Prabhupada was very upset. He was very angry because Nitai had criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because the process that we follow is the paddhati that is given to us by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Prabhupada, when he saw that Nitai said something like this, he was very angry that somebody could dare to criticize Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Nitai had not fallen down. He had not swindled money. The so-called, which are abominable activities. But the strongest letter that Prabhupada wrote in the history of ISKCON was about Nitai Das. He wrote, that's there on the folio, you can see it, to all the temple presidents, he said, Nitai has become a poisonous snake and he should be avoided at all costs. I'm just paraphrasing, but he did say, he has become a poisonous snake. So this is how Prabhupada reacted. Prabhupada is extremely upset that this thing could cause a great disturbance. And so, Prabhupada kept that at bay during his physical presence. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj writes an article in the ISKCON Communications Journal that it came back again into ISKCON in the early 90s. And I remember Kadamukanan Maharaj, a few years before on the Rasa Purnima, he was giving a talk. And he was the temple president of Vrindavan at that time. So he was saying how Prabhupada had kept this whole Siddha Pranali Paddhati out of the four walls of ISKCON. And during the time that he was the temple president in Vrindavan, Kadamukanan Maharaj, in the early 90s, it slowly began to seep in through the walls of ISKCON. Slowly it began to seep in. And he said it went on and went on and finally it came in through the main door. So then first time Prabhupada cracked down on that. Second time it's the GBC who cracked down on it and eliminated it from ISKCON. Because there are some very dangerous, deviant, the paddhati itself is bona fide, but they're very dangerous, very dangerous attempts to mislead the members of ISKCON. For example, they claim that the devotees of ISKCON who do book distribution, these are all inferior activities. Higher activity is Raga Anuga Sadhana Bhakti. It is not all this book distribution. It's all Karma Kanda. They don't say Karma Kanda. It's inferior, sorry. They say it's inferior and all these things. So the whole process given to us by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada is completely minimized by saying that you people are kids. It's not all about preaching. It's all about Raga Anuga Sadhana Bhakti. Now, interestingly, if we actually analyze the process given to us by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, we are not missing anything. Because the classic book on Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, Sri Sri Raghavartama Chandrika, written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now I'm not paraphrasing anymore, I'll give you an exact definition of what is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, what is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti and what is a disturbance to Bhakti. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a very clear, precise definition. He explains that if one follows the Vidhi Marga, impelled by a desire to follow scriptural regulations, that is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then he says, if one follows Vidhi Marga, this is the exact term he uses, if one follows Vidhi Marga with the greed to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, that is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. If one follows the Vidhi Marga, I'll repeat it again, if one follows the Vidhi Marga with the greed to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, that is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. This is the definition. And then he also says, if one worships the Supreme Lord Krishna without following the scriptural injunctions, that is a disturbance to bhakti. So whether it is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or whether it is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, one has to follow scriptural injunctions. Without that, it cannot be called Raganuga Sadhana. Just that it's a question of what is the mood with which you are practicing. If you practice with an intense desire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, that is called Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And what Prabhupada has done is, actually Prabhupada has given us Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Because, I'll give you my own example. That before I took to Krishna consciousness, I had read various philosophies. And Eastern, Western, everything. Finally, without getting into the details of how I read the Krishna book, I got the Krishna book and read it at one sitting. And what happened to me was, without any voluntary endeavor, without anything, any effort on my own, just by reading that one Krishna book, I had an intense desire. When reading the Krishna book was like living in Vrindavan. It is almost like the way Prabhupada has presented the Krishna book. He gives you an experience of Vrindavan. It was just like living in Vrindavan. And usually, after you keep down a book, the experience that you feel while reading a book gradually diminishes. But what happened with me was, after I put down the Krishna book, the experience kept increasing. So this is a very, very strange phenomenon, which I had never experienced before, on reading any book, that the experience magnifies with time. And eventually it became so strong that it drove me to the temple to find out, what is this? I want this. This is Prabhupada's mercy. That even somebody who has no idea of what is bhakti, Prabhupada creates that desire, that he gives us that experience of Vrindavan, and he drives us with that higher taste to practice. And I should tell you that when I read the Krishna book, whatever strong attachments that I had to this material world, whatever, everything without any endeavor began to look very pale. This is the mercy of Prabhupada. This is what Prabhupada can do, and this is what he has given us. That he is driving us by giving us the pastimes of Krishna with the right philosophy. Look at Krishna book. It is not just pastimes of Krishna. It is interwoven with the philosophy. This is exactly what is Raganuga Bhakti. Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur defines it as, you follow the Vidhi Marga with the desire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, Jivanath Prabhu played this lecture of Rameshwar Prabhu during the book distribution marathon. I don't know how many of you were there. It's a very powerful lecture where once Rameshwar Prabhu, he was giving a class, and he explained how Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai, what does it mean? What is the external manifestation in the material world? It's book distribution. And he gave that explanation to the devotees. And some devotees were not very sure whether this is a speculation or whether this is true. So when they presented that to Prabhupada is very happy. He said he has understood correctly. And now, this also has its origins. Like we have now the Rath Yatra pastimes coming up. And during the Ratyatra pastime, we know how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Maharaj Pratap Rudra was not a materially impoverished person, because he was a king, he wanted to set an example by not associating with kings. So when Maharaj Pratap Rudra began to sweep the road in front of the chariot of Lord Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a note of it. So when Mahaprabhu was resting in Balagandhi, when the rath stopped, the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Maharaj Pratap, please massage his lotus feet. And Mahaprabhu was relishing the Gopi Geet which Maharaj Pratap Rudra was singing. But when he came to that verse, Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibirishitam kalmashapaham Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmashapaham Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigranantaye Bhuridajana. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he suddenly woke up and he began to loudly say, Bhurida, you are the most merciful, you are the most merciful. And he personally embraced Maharaj Pratap Rudra. The same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was not even willing to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra, on hearing this verse, and he said, you have given me so much happiness by reciting this verse, you are actually most munificent, he says. So even the gopis, this whole thing of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is talking about how we should constantly think of the gopis. But here this is the Gopi Geet. And what are the gopis thinking about? We are talking about thinking of the gopis. But what are the gopis thinking about? That the preachers, those who narrate the glories of Krishna, they are the most glorious. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada explained to us, our goal is not to see God. Our goal is to act in such a way so that God sees us. So our goal is not simply to try to see the gopis. Our goal, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, is to act in such a way that the gopis sees us. The gopis see us. That's book distribution. That's preaching. And this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so enamored when he heard that verse. So what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada has given us is the complete package. Yes, the Dhyanachandra Paddhati is bona fide. There's no doubt about it. But the process that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada have given us is not anything less. It is a complete package. It is a complete package. There's nothing missing in this package whatsoever. Just that we have to take the pains to understand how it is so. Because there's during Prabhupada's time, there is only Nithai Das. Today, you have the internet. Even 90s, you didn't have the internet. Early 90s, during when that happened in ISKCON and it was clamped down upon by the GBC. But today you have the internet, you have social media. And Nithai Das is still very much active. And you have a lot of propaganda trying to show how Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is just some inferior thing. It's okay, but it's inferior. You need to come to us to get the real thing. And people have got misled and continue to get misled by this. So we have to scrutinizingly study Srila Prabhupada's books and understand how the process that he has given us is nothing less. For example, let me give you an example. That in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, the Tulsi prayers that we sing every day morning, there are two prayers. One given by Chandrasekhar Kavi and one given by Dina Krishnadas. But the prayer that Prabhupada gave us is the one by Dina Krishnadas, in which Tulsi Maharani is a Gopika. Sri Radha Govinda Preme Sadajena Basi. So this is how we pray. There's another prayer, which is also Gaudiya Vaishnava prayer by Chandrasekhar Kavi, where Tulsi Maharani is the wife of Shripati. That's Vidhi Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So both are there. But Prabhupada gave us the prayers which we offer to Tulsi Maharani as a gopi in Vraj. Similarly, even the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, there are two explanations for this: Hari, Krishna and Rama. Then you have Hara and Krishna. So Prabhupada gave us the definition of Hara and Krishna. That is the Madhurya Mark. But the Hari Krishna and Rama is the Aishwarya Mark. Bhakti Sanatana Thakur explained this to us. So we should not at any point think that using our mind we can understand what is what. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. So mahajaneyena gatasya pantaha. The truth of religious principles cannot be understood by our analysis, by studying this book, by studying that book, but it's hidden in the heart of a pure devotee. So we are the Saraswatas. So we should remember, Prabhupada did not say we are the Rupanugas, because if we are the Rupanugas, we can also follow the Dhyanachandra Paddhati. But we are the Saraswatas. Saraswata Rupanugas. That's why we sing in the morning, right? Every day, Pranam Mantra. It is not actually Saraswati Deva, it is Saraswate. Saraswati is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's name. A follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is called Saraswata. So Prabhupada specifically writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we are Saraswatas. So this is our lineage. And as long as we follow our lineage perfectly, the highest result, Krishna Prema, is guaranteed. That is a fact. And Prabhupada actually encourages that. So let me just end with that quotation from Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is giving a lecture in London, and he says, this is on 23rd of July 1973, when you work for Krishna with love and enthusiasm, that is your Krishna conscious life. If you think that it is hackneyed, it is troublesome, but what can I do? Means some people do that. They practice devotional service as it is hackneyed, it's troublesome, what can I do? These people ask me to do it, I have to do it. This is called Vidhi Sadhana, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Prabhupada said this is not Krishna consciousness. So the Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada has given us is you have to do it voluntarily and with great pleasure. So the same thing, the lavlyam, the desire to follow in the residence, footsteps of the residence of Vrindavan, that brings us great pleasure. Then you know, utsaha nishya dhairya tat tat karma pravartanat sato vritte sadhu sange sadbir bhakti prasidyati. You will find in our Upadeshamrita, always you should be enthusiastic, utsaha dhairyat with patience, tat tat karma pravartanat nishyat with confidence. When I am engaged in Krishna's business, Krishna's activities, Krishna will surely take me back home, back to Godhead. Goloka Vrindavan. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti cannot take you to Goloka Vrindavan. This Sadhana Bhakti, Raghavanuga, which Krishna is talking about, which Prabhupada has given, the whole of what Prabhupada is teaching is Raghavanuga Sadhana Bhakti, actually. So, and Krishna says, Man Manama Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, I will take you back. It is stated, Krishna is not a liar, Prabhupada says. So, we have to work with enthusiasm. So, there's nothing missing in our process. So, since it was the appearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit and Dhyanachandra Paddhati comes from his lineage, there's nothing wrong with that Paddhati. Let me state it again. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur maintained the principle. Very few people are qualified to practice it. That's why he wrote the whole book called Vaishnava K, where he says that you think you're practicing some Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, but you're sitting in Radha Kund and all that you're thinking of is money and women. And Prabhupada said most of these Babajis, they all have so many women associates. They have so much relationship with women. So this is an extremely difficult process, the Dhyanachandra Paddhati. But the Sadhana Bhakti, Raghavanuga Sadhana Bhakti, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given us, that is it is a process which is possible for all types of people. But either way, every practice has to be based on morality and religious principles. It's not that suddenly somebody is following some Dhyanachandra Paddhati and says, okay, I don't have to follow any rules and regulation. That's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur himself says that's a disturbance. They have to also follow. But it's not easy. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, understanding the temperament, the eligibility of people in this age, he gave us a process which is complete. He says, by chanting the holy names, automatically the Nama, by chanting the Nama, the Rupa, Guna and Leela of the Lord will manifest. So I think I'll stop there if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your nice class. Maybe I missed it, but I was wondering if you could just explain what exactly this Dhyanachandra Padati addresses and which aspects of it is bona fide. You might have alluded to it, but I think I missed it. Maybe you can, because you kept repeating that it's bona fide, but just for my education.
I haven't studied the details of it because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada did not want us to get into it. But it is a bona fide, because it is given by Dhyanachandra Goswami. It's called the Dhyanachandra Padati. So it is a bona fide tradition, but what are the elements of it? I haven't studied it. I haven't dared to do it, simply because Prabhupada was so heavy about it. And in fact, I remember Prabhupada sometimes uses very, very strong expressions. So when Prabhupada used his expression, poisonous snake, the first thing that came to my mind was in the introduction into the Bhagavatam. You know, so he says that anybody who does not believe in the personal form of the Lord is a faithless demon, and not to be seen persona non grata, fit to be punished by the plutonic king. So I was thinking that if I try to venture to figure out what this is, even if I try to figure out what it is, I don't want to risk becoming a persona non grata, fit to be punished by the plutonic king. At the same time, if somebody comes to explain to me and says this, but I could still say that's a different thing, but I have not voluntarily endeavored to figure that out. Yes, ma'am. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.